open a work session on Senate Bill 931. Jason, do you want to explain what we're looking at?
Mr. Chair, we're looking at Senate Bill 931, which increases from $10,000 to $100,000 the value of property that a public utility or a telecommunications utility may sell or otherwise transfer without obtaining prior approval from the PUC. It also authorizes a public utility or a telecommunications utility to sell or otherwise transfer property valued between $25,000 and $100,000 if written notice is provided to the PUC within 60 days following the sale. We'd already vetted this out of committee and it was sent back to us.
From the floor.
From the floor.
I think we might tweak it and add some language to it. We're not going to, so my suggestion is we put it right back out to the floor. Representative King.
I make a motion we give a due pass recommendation to the House floor of Senate Bill 931.
Representative King moves Senate Bill 931 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Send it on its way.
Please call the roll.
Representative Jeffers.
Aye.
King.
Aye.
Cromwell.
Aye.
Montgomery.
Aye.
Rapunzel.
Excuse.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Salmon.
Excuse.
Smith.
Excuse.
Fairfield.
Aye. Senate Bill 931 is the floor of the due pass recommendation. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 803. Jason, you want to explain with what we're looking at?
Senate Bill 803A creates the Electrical and Mechanical Board consisting of 13 members appointed by the governor. It also transfers duties and functions of the Board of Boiler Rules, Electrical and Elevator Board, and State Plumbing Board to a new Electrical and Mechanical Board. It eliminates the Board of Boiler Rules, Electrical and Elevator Board, and the State Plumbing Board, and declares an emergency effective on passage. Proponents of the bill have also brought forward Senate Bill 1026, which they would like us to consider as a conceptual amendment for Senate Bill 806.
Gary and John, do you want to come up?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Gervais, and I'm representing the National Electrical Contractors Association, International Union of Elevator Constructors, and the Construction Industry Committee. We appreciate the committee's review of Senate Bill 803 and setting it for a hearing. We, unfortunately, in this legislative process, have found that we have more questions than we have answers with Senate Bill 803, and that there is not enough time, with the short amount of time, hopefully the short amount of time left in the session, to resolve all of those. And with the committee's indulgence, we would like the committee to consider taking the contents of Senate Bill 1026, which creates an interim study of the areas under consideration, and we will spend careful and thoughtful time in trying to examine all the systems and the boards and the directions of those boards and come up with a program that will move the Building Codes Agency into the 21st century.
Gary?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gary Wright, representing myself and UA Local 290. It's somewhat embarrassing to be here at the 11th hour and asking for a little bit of a change here in a what we might call a gut and stuff. But yes, we don't have enough time and to finish out our work on 803, so we would like to take the contents of Senate Bill 1026 and stick it into 803 and let us get on with the task force in the interim, and the next session we can come back with the final product.
Questions?
Are any friendly questions you have?
Representative Rosenbaum.
Well, Mr. Chair, to the representative, understanding the representative's probable direction, I'll modify and amend my statement.
I only ask friendly questions. So essentially, Senate Bill 1026 creates a study group study what would have been done in Senate Bill 803. Is that right?
That's our feeling, through the chair, Representative Hill, Representative Rosenbaum. We feel that is a vehicle that will encompass generally the topics, and we, of course, can add in other portions of Building Codes Agency. And there is some discussion already that was made, Mr. Brewer can speak to this, that was made before the Full Ways and Means Committee about the need for a review of processes and programs.
Well, I can say, Mr. Chair, I'm glad I didn't read all 47 pages of 803, and I only read the first 12.
Any further
questions? Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that I read the bill, and you avoided a rather tedious, boring process.
I've read the bill and actually rather enjoyed it, frankly.
Mr. Chair, I there's no telling for class or quality or taste. I don't know.
Okay. Representative Crummel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I understand the two of you are in favor of doing this. Everybody else seems to be first that you know of that would be involved with this pretty much feel the same way.
Representative Chair Hill, to the representative, there are other people signed up. The major people that were involved in the discussion and the promulgation of Senate Bill 803 are all in agreement that there should be a study. The ones that ask that Senate Bill 803 be brought forth.
Representative Montgomery.
Thank you, Arch.
Senate Bill 1026, you're completely happy with the way it reads right now? No changes, no additions, no subtractions, just as is. Page and a half. Thank you.
To the chair, yes.
Any further discussion?
And there's no casinos in this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Mr. Gervais, for Gary, do you anticipate any new funding being required to this task force? I noticed in on the second page the reference to claims for expenses shall be paid out of tomorrow. Funds available for that purpose.
Through the chair, if I may, I think that Joe Brewer probably could better answer that.
Yes.
Again, there was some discussion before Ways and Means of an intent to undertake this kind of review, and while the department is strapped for funds and we've had to come to you, and we'll be coming to the floor with Senate Bill 287, which I hope all of you can support, along with Senate Bill 512, which will help the funding and make some available. Just a little side note on a couple of the bills. I don't know, Mr. Brewer, have a better answer on that. Just remember 287 and 512.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenbaum. Rasmussen. Excuse me. I apologize.
No, I could be mistaken, sir.
Red fingernails, please.
For the benefit of those of us who arrived late, what are we doing here?
We are having a public hearing on Senate Bill 803.
Yes.
And the panel that was just up suggested we replace the entire content of Senate Bill 803 with the content of Senate Bill 1026, which is at your place.
Excuse me, and the reason for that is?
They feel they're, paraphrase, I believe they feel there's problems with 803 that they don't feel they can overcome, but they want to continue the discussion, and 1026 is a task force study.
To get them to that place.
We have additional people to testify.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the cliff notes.
Okay. Paul, you still want to come up just very briefly?
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Cosgrove representing the American Forest and Paper Association. We were prepared to support 803 with the -A6 amendments. We will also be happy to support moving 1026 into 803. I just wanted to very briefly say what our interest in this issue is. We employ a number of people who are licensed by these boards, in particular electricians. And Mr. Shipwreck, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have 35 different electrical licenses in this state, some of whom are employed in manufacturing plants like ours. And our concern was in any reorganization of boards that those people who have representation and interest in the work of the board somehow have a means of getting their representation forward. And the -A6 amendments would have done that with an advisory committee to this shortened, smaller board. With that, we would have been happy to go forward. We'll work with the study and work with you folks next session on what the study comes back to you with. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Thank you. Olson? Welcome. Yeah. Well, please state your name for the record.
My name is Lawrence Olson, but I go by Ole Olson.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, plus I live in West Lynn, Oregon. I testify you before you this afternoon concerning the Electrical and Elevator Board Division of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, basically in support of Senate Bill 803. I'm a mechanical engineer, graduate of Washington State University, a former test engineer at Heister Company in Portland, and a previous home builder and an inventor. I hold several patents, vibratory isolation, hydraulics, and elevator mechanics. Since 1973, I've been in the business of designing and engineering lifts and elevators in the state of Oregon and elsewhere. I would like to spend a few minutes to review a specific example of what many people consider to be a very serious problem within the division. What I'm about to testify is certainly not the only issue. In fact, there are probably hundreds of them. The law specifies that civil penalties are to be imposed only by the director. But within the electrical and elevator agencies, the advisory board is assessing the penalties, not the director. This is in direct violation of the Administrative Procedures Act, ORS 183090, and the agency's own statutes. I personally informed the agency of the discrepancy as long ago as 1994. I also told the then Deputy Secretary of State, Mike Greenfield. Mr. Greenfield is now the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Those financial penalties have been estimated to at least $30,000 a month. Some of the penalties have been so severe that small independent contractors have been driven to some near bankruptcy. Others have been financially ruined. My position is that, since the monies were assessed by the board instead of the director, the penalties were illegally collected and should be returned. But it isn't all financially. Not only is the division imposing financial penalties in violation of the law, it's also revoking permits to operate, which is also in violation of the law. Tremendous emotional and mental burden is placed on the individuals and businesses who, under the division's scrutiny, especially when they consider the division's actions capricious and unfair. They are under such stress they often fail to take care of running their business, which results in ruin in their business. And let me point out that it appears to be a majority of the agency actions are issued against small, independent contractors. Many of us certainly believe that that's the case. But who can we return to? You would think that our best bet would be the agency itself. After all, the agency makes and enforces the rules and should be in position to offer assistance. Unfortunately, the agency itself has been of no help. So we must turn to you, the legislature, to act to force the agency to comply with the law. Compel the agency to uphold the state rules and statutes. I am basically in support of Senate Bill 803 and hope that the bill will begin to address some of the problems small businesses face with the agency. It's a good start. Unfortunately, the bill may not be enough. Unless we can go back and correct the past policies and practices the agency has primarily used against small businesses, then the real cause of the problem will never be addressed. And after I wrote that, I have not quite read all of this, which was a month ago. I'd like to point you to Section 4 of this particular bill, which kind of makes an example of it, saying that the electrical and mechanical board may adopt rules. The electrical and mechanical board is an advisory board, and by normal statutes, it cannot adopt rules. It can only recommend rules, and only the rules can be adopted by the director of the Department of Consumer Business, which is at this present time is Mike Greenfield, or assistant. Can't think of her name. Okay? Any questions?
Are there any questions for Mr. Olson?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming down. Mr. Frank Reynolds? Ronaldo? Did I say it right? Which one? could be either way.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Frank Regalado, sorry, I didn't mean to scribble there.
I was wrong all the way around.
It wasn't very clear. I'm a member of the Electrical and Elevator Board. I was coming here to speak against Senate Bill 803. I will relax, and I'm in favor of 1026. It sounds like a good idea to study it further. As a member of the board, we have quite a bit of work. There's a good mix of people on that board. There's some, we have somebody from the insurance industry, a public member, and there's quite a few, there's a good cross-section of people, and I was concerned that if they just took four people off of each board, and our board meeting every month, the plumbing board, I think, only meets four times a year, the boiler board every other month, four times a year. So I was a little concerned about the balance there and whether or not we'd be able to get the work done. However, Senate Bill 1026 sounds like it might be a good idea.
Are there any questions?
If I may, Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Lindberg. I am the chairman of the Oregon State Board of Boiler Rules. I, too, had concerns specifically with membership. I think the people that serve on these boards generally aren't well compensated. We get $30 a meeting sometimes. It's, you know, and we're not there for the money, obviously. But it does increase the participation by citizens in their government. And I know it certainly increased mine. I think in that respect it's a good idea to have as broad a base as we can. We learn a little bit more and we're able to be more effective in this arena, certainly. But I am in favor of, I was mostly in favor of 803 with a couple of exceptions, and 1026 will adequately serve our needs in the boiler industry so we can figure out where we're going with this. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Lindberg might be interested that the doctors have managed to convince the legislature that they need more money because they're so well compensated that they're losing too much by serving on the Board of Medical Examiners. No.
Thank you. Just for record, Paul Cosgrove has asked me to make sure on the record that Northwest Pulp and Paper Association also supports the position that he previously mentioned. Let's invite up Scott Berry.
Good afternoon. Scott Berry with the Oregon Building Industry Association. Our initial response was to 803, so I've just seen this for about 10 minutes. But the concern we had in 803, and it was just a minor amendment, was this was going to be called the Electrical Board of Electrical, Electrical and Mechanical Board, and the mechanical piece of the code is a separate piece of the code, and it is now under the Structures Board. And so we were just suggesting that that might be changed to Electrical and Plumbing Systems Board. And the only reason that's of any value is that under this new bill, and the mechanical piece of the code was not supposed to be transferred with it, so which we were in support of leaving it where it is with the Structures Board. This new board or this new study does bring in the structures or the mechanical piece of the code in it again under line 23. And when they talk about who's going to serve on the study board or the task force, it's four members from the plumbing board, four members from the electrical elevator board, and one named by the director, along with it's electrical, plumbing, and boiler. Nobody from the structures board would be serving on the committee. Yet it's part of that mechanical code that they want to put under this new prospective committee, so or prospective board. So the concern we have is, if you're looking at either take the mechanical piece out of it, as it was not in 803, or add some folks from the structures board, the study board, so that there's fair representation. Hope that made sense in the end.
Thanks. Any questions? Representative Rosenbaum.
I don't know if you were the person that someone suggested to answer my question about expenses for this work.
I doubt that. No, that's probably Joe Brewer.
That's coming. Thank you. Joe, you want to come on up?
Welcome. Nice to be here. For the record, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Joe Brewer. I'm the administrator at the Building Codes Division. I, too, was somewhat surprised by the turn of events. I brought some very nice written testimony in support of Senate Bill 803. Looking forward to actually reducing three boards into one is one of my favorite things to anticipate in life. The only concern that the department would have with Senate Bill 1026 has been addressed by Representative Rosenbaum. We may have looked at this bill earlier in session, but frankly, I don't recall it at this point in time. Things are beginning to run together on us, so we would need to take a look at the fiscal impact of the bill. I'll have committed to an interim review of the entire building codes process, right, beginning at code adoption through delivery of service, both by the division and at the local municipal level, to identify ways that we can improve the system, either through administrative action or proposed legislation. So this may fold into that very effectively. With respect to the mechanical portion of the code, I concur with Mr. Berry that is currently handled by the Structures Board, but my hope would be that if we created an electrical mechanical board, it would contain responsibility for the mechanical code as well. Speaking right off the top of my head, I would hope that we could reduce the five boards we serve into one board. One advisory board advising the administration on how the code should be administered in this state, but that may be too much to dream for. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Would Mr. Berry's concern be covered in line 17 and 18 of Senate Bill 1026, which is before us, where it says that at least two persons appointed from each professional board in time subjection one, which is the ones below? So would the mechanical...
Mr. Chairman, that might very well work.
Is that, are you not listed by board? You want to come up, Scott? I just want to make sure if I'm reading this correctly.
Under the Oregon Building Industry Association. The way I read it, Chair Hill, is that the three boards above would have to have those two members. But again, I just scanned it before I came up here.
I see it. I'm reading it wrong. And so which is the board? What board do we need to have people from?
The Building Structures Board.
Two? Four?
It's the Building Code Structures Board. They handle the structural code and the mechanical code.
How many? Two? Four? Two? Four? Two?
We'd like to see equal representation, so we'd like to see four, but as there are from the other boards.
Are they just a minor part of this or a major part?
Mr. Chairman, the Building Code Structures Board advises the department on the adoption of the building code, which is really the framework for the entire development process. So four would be appropriate.
Four. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Brewer?
That's 15 people, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Is 15 too many, or does that create a problem?
Through the chair to Representative Deckard, the Building Code Structures Board currently has 17 members. Is it a problem on occasion?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the board manages to get its work done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 803? Hearing and seeing none, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 803, open a work session on Senate Bill 803. It's the pleasure of the committee. Representative Deckard.
I would bring a conceptual amendment to Senate Bill 1026, or to the -1026 amendment. That allow for four.
Let's do some procedural stuff. Rule suspension to first conceptually amend Senate Bill 803.
Mr. Chair, I would ask for a suspension of the rules to do a conceptual amendment.
Representative Deckard asks for a suspension of the rules for the purposes of conceptually amending Senate Bill 803. Is there any objection? Representative Simmons?
What would be the substance of the amendment?
I'm guessing that we would do Senate Bill 10026 into 803. That's my guess.
That was the other line that's been affected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I won't object.
Without objection, the rules are suspended. Representative Decker, do you want to first do our conceptual amendment with the conceptual amendment? So you want to...
Mr. Chair.
Representative Decker.
I move that we conceptually amend the Dash 1026 amendment.
Senate Bill.
Senate Bill 1026 to allow for four members from the
Mechanical...
Building Code Structures Board.
Building Code Structures Board.
Building Code Structures Board to 1026.
Everyone understand we're adding four members from the Building Code Structures Board into the task force. Is there any objection? Is he none? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Deckert.
I move that we conceptually amend Senate Bill 803 to include the contents of Senate Bill 1026. As we've discussed and amended.
Representative Deckert moves to conceptually amend Senate Bill 803 with the contents of Senate Bill 1026, as we have conceptually discussed and agreed upon. Is there any discussion, Representative Kremel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a clarification. The content of Senate Bill 1026 replaces the content of Senate Bill 803. Is that correct?
That would be the effect of doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that...
Any other questions or discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Witt.
I see that Senate Bill 803 passed the Senate unanimously. Weren't these positions staked out over in the Senate relative to wanting to conduct this study instead of moving forward with this consolidation? Does anybody know?
I would invite John up. Representative Senator Ferrioli. Senator Ferrioli, are you seeking to give testimony on Senate Bill 803?
No, sir. Can I
have 30? That one is already gone. It went to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
That
was
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We agree.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in response to Representative Witt's question, the various factions of the building industry had hoped to achieve a bill in this session. And in that process, we held off and continued discussions throughout the Senate process and letting Senate members know that there was not total agreement on it. And it was kind of send it to the House and fix it to some extent.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, is there nobody now supporting the contents of Senate Bill 803 in the form that it came out of the Senate?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, I'm not sure that nobody is supporting it, but the major ones that requested it do not support it in that they're in its current form, and the concepts that have been brought up, we're not able to reach agreement, and it causes more problems than it solves. And we found that we had created a faulty product and apologized to the committee and to the body for that.
I would also suggest that the Senate will have a choice as to whether to concur or not concur, and we may be discussing this in conference committee. So I would suggest that those that are here continue to work on the issue because they may come back in conference committee. So
certainly we'll look forward to working with you whenever and wherever. Again, thank you for your patience. And
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, do you have any comment on the testimony of Mr. Olson relative to the authority taken by the board?
Let me give you a couple of answers to that, through the chair, if I may, to represent Witt. Number one, Mike Greenfield is one of the finest administrators I've ever worked with in this process, and has found the processes to be very legal. Also, there was the illusion or the accusation that boards were setting policy that did not have the legal authority to do so. My familiarity is closest to the Electrical and Elevator Board, and very clearly there are sections of the ORS 479, which is the electrical section of the state law, where the law and the legislature have given full policy to the electrical board itself and not to the department. There are sections where it is a shared responsibility, where one cannot do without the other, and there are a few sections where the administrator, or actually the director, delegates down to the administrator. So it is a mixed bag, but I go to every electrical and elevator board meeting that takes place. The Attorney General's representative, Kathy Dahleen, has been there and has found those actions to be legal. And unless I have immunity, I'm not going to talk any further about the allegations and my ideas with them. Well, I mean, about the some of the allegations that were made. I think that Mr. Olson has demonstrated over many years problems with many departments and has received civil penalties for cause.
Mr. Olson, if you'd like to come up, and I'll give you 2 minutes.
I've never received a civil penalty. I'd like you to read ORS 455.895 into the record. The director.
What year is he reading from?
ORS 455.890 on the...
Dated. What's the date of the version you're going to talk to us?
1997. Yes, I can tell.
ORS 455.
Point 855.
I'll be there in just a second. I have it.
I really thoroughly believe my copy is correct, but you can surely correct me if I'm wrong here, Representative.
Here. Thank you. Go ahead.
It says the director, in consultation with the appropriate board, may impose a civil penalty against any person who violates any provision of this chapter and ORS Chapter 446, 447, 460, 479, and 480, or any rule adopted thereunder. A civil penalty imposed under this section shall be in the amount determined by the director, not more than $1,000 for each offense, or in the case of a continuing offense, not more than $1,000 for each day of the offense. And it goes on. Now, what I identified to you was is that also was followed under the ORS 183, and I will admit to you that in OAR 918, Part 270, allows the board, in essence, to assess civil penalties. And that was one of my comments, that the statute which brings it into it, which is ORS 455.895, says that you're not supposed to, but the administrative rule allows it. And to go back, I discussed this with Mike Greenfield in 1994-95 when he was the Assistant Secretary of State. I have not talked to him since he became the Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. I've also discussed it with Joe Brewer, that this is a discrepancy that offended me. Okay? And since it offends me, because I feel that I know the deal, I felt it to bring it to the attention of the people, appropriate people, and in my previous attempts to get this resolved, met with moot answers. So I asked permission to bring it down here by talking to some people and talked to Jason Cody this morning when I found out that it was going to be here, and I hope that it was appropriate. If it's not, I would ask you to advise me on the appropriate place to bring the information I have so that I can properly present it if this is the inappropriate place. So I plead with you for my opportunity to redress my grievances appropriately and get it resolved appropriately. And I personally have no specific person that I'm representing here, other than the fact that I have seen people being given civil penalties, knowing the fact that I know the law. My only choice is to stay away and not say anything, or tell the people and get some resolution. I chose to tell the people to see if I cannot get some resolution because it has offended me, because of other things that has happened to me, and for allegations to say that people have assessed civil penalties before is inappropriate. I have never been assessed a civil penalty. Okay? I have had a whole sundry of other things, and if somebody wants me to attest to you what the whole sundry of other things were, I'd like the opportunity to attest to some person or group in private, not in public meeting, and see if we cannot get a resolution to some of these problems that have occurred for obviously a long, long period of time. I thank you for the extension on my time, Representative Hill, and I hope it's appropriate for me to speak the second time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming down. I believe this is the appropriate body to bring your concerns about how the agencies are performing in terms of if you do have some concerns and whether they're acting legally or not, I suggest you contact the Attorney General.
Can I answer that briefly?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that a win?
That's all. That's fine, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions? We have a motion before the committee to conceptually amend Senate Bill 803 with the contents of Senate Bill 1026 as agreed upon by the members of the committee. Now, would you please call the roll?
Aye.
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 Montgomery.
Aye.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Sherman.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 803 is amended. Motion to the floor. Anyone?
Are you kidding?
Representative King moves Senate Bill 803 to the floor with a do pass
recommendation. Thank you.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Senate Bill 803 moves to the floor with the due pass, as amended, essentially amended in, to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Let me give you. Representative Rosenbaum, would you carry the bill?
Sure.
Representative Rosenbaum.
Chairman.
Representative Witt.
Who was the carrier on the previous bill? She came in a little bit late.
Give you, no. 931? Yes. It's just going to be you. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to tomorrow, we are in hearing room D at 3 o'clock. Tuesday.
He is in boy.
I understand. We may have some conflicts, but Wednesday we will be in hearing room 50, and we have scheduled Thursday as well, hearing room 50 at 3 o'clock.
Tomorrow, where is that?
3 o'clock, hearing room B. Wednesday, hearing room 50. Thursday, 3 o'clock, hearing room 50.
They're all 3 p.m.
at 3 o'clock.
This is room 350. 50 in the basement.
Correct.
On Tuesday.
Correct.
Tuesday's in
B. Wednesday and Thursday is in room 50.
You just say B as in boy, right?
B as in boy.
This is Tuesday. Are we in Belgium?
Yes, correct.
So, on first?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. King.
What's on second?
Mr. Chair, I had had some amendments drafted for Senate Bill 622. And since we might be hearing that in a week, if, you know, if the administrator could submit a copy to the members, that would be helpful.
We just for the benefit of the committee members, we have additional amendments which have come out today on Senate Bill 1149. We will get those distributed out to you so you have them to look at. Jason has all the copies. So Jason will make sure that each amendment to your office should be delivered, the amendments as we get them, as quickly as possible. So with that, Representative Rosenbaum,
go ahead.
Amendments to Senate Bill 142, will those be forthcoming as well?
I'm hoping that by Wednesday we will have the amendments out of the LC. So they promised. That's, but I'm just captive. Representative Witt?
Mr. Chairman, are you planning on closing the committee at the end of this week?
My intention is Thursday will be our last day. Representative Kremel?
You answered my question.
And only with your cooperation. We could do it earlier.
We need more amendments, and then we can meet for another 3 weeks. Huh?
Absolutely. There we go. Without objection, we're adjourned.